Today on the Trent Out Loud podcast.
Was that the point of the interview, Kelsey? Like, were you coming out to have this interview to tell us nothing other than the fact that if we do see a video and we do see you on the video and you are the one doing the shooting, we should automatically think it's AI? What up? It's your boy Trent Out Loud and I'm back with another episode. All right, I got a good show set up for you guys today. I got one lead story. We're going to talk about Kelsey Nicole, who is Megan Thee Stallion's best friend. She sat down and had her first tell-all interview. Then we're going to jump into quick news. We're going to talk Charlamagne Tha God. He's apologizing. Nikki Haley, Drake, Joe Budden, Krishan Rock, and Shannon Sharp. Then we're going to jump into everyone's favorite quick news. And then, of course, you know, we got to touch on a little bit of sports highlights and news. Y'all know what time it is. Turn your TV, radio, or devices up. I'm about to start this show. Let's go. Kelsey speaks out in first official interview since the Megan Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez shooting. All right, I started out my intro segment by saying this is Kelsey's tell-all interview, and this is what it was dubbed to be, her first tell-all interview, and it was really lackluster, like, boo, do we have a boo button? Like, she told us absolutely nothing. There was nothing revealed, there was nothing captivating, there was nothing that was new, it was just nothing, it was just us hearing about her emotions and her feelings and how she helped Megan Thee Stallion become who she is today. Completely lackluster and extremely disappointing. I'll read to you the headline. Kelsey Nicole speaks out in her first official interview since the night of Megan Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez shooting incident. In the interview, Kelsey touches on multiple subjects pertaining to the infamous night. She reveals the night of the incident is when she first found out she had been betrayed. She says that night changed her entire life and also the relationship she had with alcohol, calling it the devil. She also goes into detail about how she and Megan became friends and the impact she believes she had on Megan's career. Although Kelsey did not go into detail about the turn of events of the infamous night during the interview, she does touch on subjects such as being diagnosed with PTSD, her current relationship with Darren DuBois-Smith, the impact of her dad's passing on her life, and motherhood. Like, this is what the whole dramatic lead up was supposed to be about. Like, that's just PTSD, her father passing away, motherhood. This is what you made us wait 4 years for? Like, this is what the whole anticipation. You guys promoted this for like a week. Tell all interview, releasing, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is what we were waiting for? Like, this was nothing. This should have been dubbed an interview with Kelsey and Nicole. Kelsey Nicole's, you know, life story, or, you know, like, why would you dub it that this was the first official interview since Megan Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez shooting? Like, the internet is literally pissing me off so much lately. Like, all anybody is ever doing is trying to drum up drama to have us watch. Like, the only thing that we found out was that the night in question, the night of the shooting, is when she found out of the betrayal, and the betrayal being that Megan was sleeping with Tory. Like, does that really change anything for us? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't really give us any information. Like, anyways, I'm so sick of people getting on the internet and cutting up these interviews and playing this dramatic music behind it and, like, making us stay up thinking that we're going to get, like, this big reveal. And I'm so happy I didn't get tricked into it. It was just, I didn't even till now, I still haven't watched it. I'm literally just getting this information off the internet because I knew this was going to happen. Like, I'm literally just getting sick of the internet. Anyways, I want to shout out my boy, Friday Ricky Dread on Instagram, Montreal native by way of Toronto, podcaster, fellow podcaster and YouTuber. He put up some clips of it. He said, Kelsey Nicole hopes there's a video. It will clear me. He put that post up. And that was really about it. Like, that's all that anybody's rating. Like, there was nothing groundbreaking or nothing revealing. We still don't have any information. Like, all she said is that, I hope that there is a video. I hope it will clear me. Oh, there's another thing, actually. There's another thing that she said. I'll actually play this clip here quickly. Listen to this.
Yeah, I hope a video does come out. What's this video supposed to show? The way AI and all that shit is set up?
Oh, man.
I'll be like, motherfucker, if y'all AI generate, you know, if that's even possible. It's dangerous. You can literally create a conversation with somebody's voice.
But, like, she's, like, dropping the little AI hint as if, like, oh, if there is a video that does come out, already we need to start thinking that it could be AI. Like, was that the point of the interview, Kelsey? Like, were you coming out to have this interview to tell us nothing other than the fact that if we do see a video and we do see you on the video and you are the one doing the shooting, we should automatically think it's AI? Was that the point of the interview? Is that why you came out? And WAC 100 said that the video was coming out soon. So Kelsey hasn't said anything for 4 years. She comes and sits down, does a podcast after 4 years, tells us nothing. And the most revealing thing she says is, hey, if a video does come out, let's just be careful it's not AI. This is whack, man. This is making me feel like she's even more guilty than people are even saying. That's what I got out of this interview. Nothing else. So I don't know if you guys watch it out there. I don't know if you guys are feeling as upset as I am, but I am upset at Kelsey for this. I'm upset at the internet. I'm upset for the people that took their time. I shouldn't say upset, but I feel bad for the people that took their time and watched this interview and reported on it. And we had to report that we got nothing other than the fact that Kelsey is trying to make us think that if a video comes out, it's going to be AI and it's not really her. Like, come on, Kelsey. Anyways, man, y'all let me know what you think. All right, that's it for my one horrible lead story. I'm still so mad. But anyways, let's get into quick news, man. Ring my bell. Charlamagne the God issues an apology to Risa Tisa following Big Back comment. I disturbed that woman's peace, and that wasn't my intention, quote unquote. All right, so I am very unsure how I feel about this situation. As you all know, I am an honorary member of the Breakfast Club, so that's family to me. I don't know how I feel about Charlamagne's comment. I don't know how I feel about her reaction to the comment, and I don't know how I feel about this apology. So I'm going to read to you some things. We're going to play a little clip of the video, and then we're going to talk about it. So the story reads as, well, the reports read as, Charlamagne Tha God issues an apology to Risa Tisa after she shared how his big back comments hurt her. He clarified that he didn't call her big back, but the story sounded like big back behavior. Nonetheless, he apologized for disturbing her peace because that was not his intention. All right, so that was the short form. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a longer form right now, just so that we can get the whole story and then draw a quick opinion. This is like coming to her like this should have been a lead story because there's nothing really quick about this. I mean, we're about to really dissect, but whatever. We'll still keep it in quick news. All right, listen. Popular radio host Charlamagne Tha God has found himself in hot water after making controversial comments on his show, The Breakfast Club, that has been labeled a fatphobic by critics. As previously reported, during a segment discussing the viral saga of Risa Tisa, Charlamagne referred to her as a big back, sparking outrage amongst listeners and social media users. The 45-year-old host's remarks came while dissecting the story of Risa Tisa, who gained online fame from sharing a detailed account of her ex-husband's deceit on TikTok. Charlamagne's comments insinuated that Risa's physical appearance, specifically her size, played a role in the situation. Did she have a big back? He questioned before adding, in a situation like this, some of you big backs, y'all gotta stop being so thirsty for men, he stated. As the backlash intensified, Risa Tisa appeared on the Tamron Hall show to address the situation. The creator of the viral series, Who the F Did I Marry, spoke out against the bullying and backlash she faced, including Charlamagne's remarks referring to her story as big back behavior. The radio host is now speaking out to issue an apology, clarifying that it was not his intention to offend or hurt anyone with his comments. Here is what he had to say on this morning's Breakfast Club. So I'm going to play a little clip of Charlamagne's apology, and we'll get back and speak about it.
I disturbed that woman's peace, and that wasn't my intention. So I apologize if my words made her feel that way. But I do have two things to say. Mm.
All right. So first of all, he apologized, right? So that's got to hold weight. He apologized. And more importantly, I want to clarify, or some of you might be missing, he's apologizing for his comments, but more so he's apologizing for disturbing her peace. Then he went on to explain that, hey, I just want to let you know, I didn't say this is because you were overweight or because your looks or whatever, blah, blah. He was just saying, hey, by the way, I don't know what this girl looks like at all, but it seems to me from what you're talking, big back behavior. And then he just went on to defend himself. Some people didn't like that the apology. Some people don't like when you apologize for something and then there's a but or an if after. But if you really dig deeper into the issue, it's that more he's not necessarily apologizing for his words. He's more apologizing for how his words made her feel. Now, let's get to the comment. I see where Charlamagne is coming from, where he's like, hey, I didn't call you overweight, or I'm not saying any of these things, but the slang term big back, if he would have said, hey, is this big girl behavior? I wonder if he would have felt like that was okay. Like for him, he's saying big back is not the same as overweight behavior. And I personally have never heard the term big back. I don't know if that's an American thing or what. I mean, I'm pretty up to date with all my slangs. I've never really heard that. I actually tried to like Google it and tried to find some urban definitions of it. But regardless of the meaning of it, the fact that big is in there and a body part, whether it's slang or not, that is obviously referring to a big part on somebody. And that is going to have an obesity shaming or a fat shaming tone, regardless of your meeting. And I always say this whenever I'm on my live with Mars, Sunny, and Aya. It's like, yo, we cannot bring up our own definitions of what we feel words are. We have to go to what the actual definitions are. And if there is no real definition, and just in your group of friends, that's what big back means, or according to Charlamagne, that's what that big back means, then it's not really fair to say that that's not what his definition of it means. I don't know if that makes sense to you guys, but like if a word is not clearly stated in the dictionary what it is, I don't like when people try to defend what their definition of it is. So that's just my take on it. More importantly, Charlamagne apologized for how he made her feel. So I think that he's looking at it as in a bigger state of like, let's not dissect the words, although he still just defended his word and that's his right. But he's like, who cares if what you think the word is or what I think the word is or what Jess thinks the word is or what Envy thinks the word is. Yo, I disturbed your peace, and I want to make it a point not to do that, because I always talk about my peace, and I disturbed this woman's peace, and I apologize for that. And I thought that was big of him. So you guys take what you think for that. It's everybody has a polarizing opinion online. Some people are on Charlamagne's side that said that that's not fat phobic and that's not, you know, talking about her weight. And of course, there's a lot of people that are on Risa's side. So you guys draw your own conclusion. That's just my two cents. Nikki Haley wins DC GOP primary, beating out Donald Trump for the first time ever. Shout out to Nikki Haley. I'll read to you guys the article quickly and then we'll move on, because there's really not much to say here, because Donald Trump is probably going to be the nominee anyways. But I just wanted to give her a little shout out. Nikki Haley has won her very first primary in Washington, D.C. The former governor beat out Donald Trump in her first ever primary win, gaining 19 delegates. Haley got 63% of the vote in her favor, while Trump only got 33%. Shout out to Nikki Haley. Honestly, nothing to get excited about. Trump is going to be the nominee. It's almost too late now where it's like she can't even beat him out. I think she's staying in so that he takes her as VP. I actually think he should take her as VP. That would be his like best option. But I think they're too much at each other's neck for that to happen. But yo, I like Nikki Haley. Shout out to Nikki Haley on your win. Drake agrees to pay off the home of a fan's deceased mom. Yo, Drake is out here really living out God's plan. If you guys remember the video, God's plan in real life on his tour, that's what Drake is doing. Every stop he makes, he finds somebody in the crowd that has like recovered from cancer or their mom has passed away or that are just struck out on their, like have had a hard time, like struck out on life, and he gives them money or he pays off their house or whatever. Here's a little clip.
He said, I pay off my mom's house, rest in peace. Your mom passed away. It's a lot of money right here. But you know what? I'm gonna pay off your mom's house.
Shout out to Drake. I love this. I love that he's doing that. This is like God's plan. This is probably coming from a budget. He probably has this in his marketing budget. And instead of spending his marketing budget on other things or outside things, he's giving it back to the people. Drake has been known for doing this. And I love that he's continuing to do it. Shout out to Drizzy. Joe Biden says the wave of planting female artists into the industry is over. Oh my gosh, Joe, literally like every week he's in the news for saying something, so shout out to him. But I completely disagree with him on this topic. I'll play a little clip for you and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I ain't gonna wanna hear it from me, but the girl rapper wave is over. I'm normally a few months ahead with this stuff, sometimes a few years ahead with this stuff.
If you notice during the clip, he says, sometimes I'm a couple of months ahead, and then he tries to save himself and says, sometimes I'm a couple of years ahead. Saying, predicting something and then saying something is going to happen in a couple of years in the music industry, that's crazy because there's obviously a different wave every year or two years. There's different waves that come in and out. So that's one thing. Second thing is that when it comes to women rap, in collectively, Nicki is hot, Cardi is hot, Meg is hot, Lotto is hot, Ice Spice is hot. Like, I don't think female rap is going anywhere. If anything, I think it's going to get even bigger. I understand that there's some bad apples that they may have plucked out, but yo, female rap is what I think people like about female rap is that it's not talking about the same old, you know, drug dealing and this and that or whatever. And I think the female rap breathes a fresh air. Now, some people will disagree with me and say that, oh, female rapping just talks about their body parts and their breasts and their this and their sex life and their bags. But that's what hip hop is about. It's a braggadocious art form, right? So unless you're going to like the rap cities where it's conscious rap, but anything that's commercialized, all rap is going to be that way. And I just feel personally like the female rap industry is a breath of fresh air. Even Sexy Red, Sukiana, like I like that hood stuff, man. And anyways, female rap ain't going anywhere. I completely disagree with Joe Budden. And in our last piece of quick news, Shannon Sharp has been dragged online all weekend for an outfit that he was wearing. I think he was doing like a press release, like this green outfit with like this orange bag. And he's been dragged online saying that his outfit is questionable and how he came out the car is like really like wimpy and girly. And he looks like he's gay. Like, you guys got to stop dragging Shannon like this, man. Ever since Shannon came out with that Cat Williams interview and he got so popular, I feel like all other content creators, podcasters, and people online are hating on him because he got so much attention, so much more attention than people that have been doing it for 10 or 15 years. And Shannon seemingly just came out of nowhere and got so much popularity off of the Cat Williams. And that's what I'm saying. Was his outfit a little tight? Okay, it was a little bit tight. Did he come out of the car a little bit awkwardly and everyone's trying to defend him saying he has two hip replacements, he's pigeon-toed? Like, give me a break. This is just hate. This is just hate. And I know that I'm a big Shannon Sharp fan. I get it for sure. But that's just because you want to know why I am a fan? Because I'm not a hater. I respect what he has done. I respect what he did on Undisputed. I respect what he's doing on First Take. And I 100% respect what he's doing with Club Shay Shay and Nightcap. Like, yes, he is new in this podcasting YouTube world and he's tearing it up. That's all this is. It's people trying to undermine what he's doing. And it's every time I talk about Shannon Sharpe in the past 2 or 3 weeks, it's somebody hating on him. If it's a comedian saying that he's gay or saying that he only likes white girls, like there's so much hate towards Shannon Sharpe right now. And it's really pissing me off because Shannon Sharpe is a good dude. He's not out here bothering anybody. And I feel like online is dragging him. And now I know that I'm bringing it a little serious right now. And it's really, people are just kind of dragging him as a joke, but this is not the first time these gay rumors and these white girl rumors and these rumors has been spreading around about Shannon Sharpe. And I know it's coming off as a joke, but like I said, if it was one, okay, I would think it was funny. But I think it, this, like the past 2 or 3 weeks, it's literally been every other day that somebody's trying to plant something on Shannon. And he has actually even come out on Nightcap and said, listen, you know what? There's so much slander that he promised his sister he's not even going to retaliate and talk to people. So I could just imagine how he's feeling, man. I think I feel a little bad for him because I know Shannon is a good dude. I don't know him personally, but Shannon is a good dude. And I think just online and content creators is just jealous of Shannon. And they're just trying to pull him down. That's just what I think. All right, I got one more piece of quick news I completely forgot. Krishan Rock put out pictures of her and her son. Oh gosh, what's his name again? Oh yeah, Blueface's son. And everybody was like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired of seeing her. Why has she come back again? I feel like I'm defending like a bunch of celebrities here today. But yo, I like Krishan Rock. I really like her. I know she's very dysfunctional and kind of toxic, but I like her. I think she's a good girl. She's super pretty. And I really like these pictures of her that she put out with her son. Her son looks like he's growing up and, you know, developing. I think the picture she put out with him when the boy was a couple of days old kind of looked a little bit awkward, but he's growing into himself right now. So shout out to Krishan. The one thing that I am a little surprised about is that this is the first time we've seen her since she put that big tattoo on the side of her face of Blueface. And I actually thought, because there were a little bit rumors that the tattoo wasn't real and it was fake, but now you could see like the tattoo has healed, it settled in. And as much as I want to defend her, I really don't like that tattoo. I mean, she put on and she had a neck tattoo of him and then covered it up. And then a couple of months later, she goes and puts almost the same picture on her face. So as much as I don't want to hate her for putting out these pictures and I think she looks really good and the baby and whatever, and I don't want to hate on her, put out the pictures and stuff, but I'm just a little bit disappointed that tattoo was real. Like, I just feel like she's going to have to cover it up as soon as Blueface gets out of jail. But anyways, that's just my two cents. All right. This brings us to question of the day. I'm going back to the 90s. Do y'all want anything? Y'all, this is really funny. I'm going to read you guys the comments. All right, here we go. The music, no social media and simplicity. The love, the way men actually courted a woman. 25 cent bags of chips. Real celebrities and not these fake IG people. Bring back cookouts that brought out the whole hood. Somebody wrote, our strong black community. The original BET with music videos only. Natural Bodies, Tupac, My Childhood, no social media, Blockbuster and Hollywood video stores. And my childhood home. Just bring the whole era back and take this raggedy one with you. A beeper, take this phone away. Everybody listening to the same radio station and dancing in traffic. Old McDonald's apple pies, kids playing outside, manicures for $20 and gas for $1.19. Bring me back one of those men's from the 90s. These men's today suck. Somebody wrote, women with real bodies. Yes, bring me back the good old R&B. Tupac and Biggie, please and thank you. No social media, life was grand. And lastly, affordable housing, gas, and groceries. So that was going to be mine, grocery prices. Bring back grocery prices. Again, I think I said this once before already. I'm not a big grocery shopper. I Uber Eats a lot of stuff. And I went to the groceries yesterday and I got just some snacks. It was like 40, 50 bucks. And I literally got like 3 or 4 things. So bring me back some cheap groceries. All right. This brings us to sports news. LeBron James has officially scored over 40,000 points. He is the first NBA player in history to score over 40,000 points. Round of applause for LeBron James. Now, I talked about this last week. I don't want to sound like a hater. I really don't. We all know that I think Michael Jordan is the GOAT. However, I still have a lot of respect for LeBron James. What he has done is incredible. But, like Charlamagne, I'm apologizing, but saying but. But he's been playing for 21 years. And I know there's been people that have been playing for 21 years. And somebody put out a post the other day of the five players in their 21st year hasn't scored as much points as LeBron has in his 21st year. Like it was Vince Carter, a couple other guys where they scored a couple of points. And all five guys added up was like 1,200. And then if you add up LeBron's points this year, it's 1,200 and let's say like two. So he's beaten five guys in 21st year. However, LeBron James is the leader of his team. Those guys in their 21st year were not leaders on their team. So it's like, I'm not taking anything away from him because why weren't those guys the leader of their teams? I get it. But all I'm just saying is that if you play for 21 years at an elite level, then you're going to get to this many points because the offense is stacked around you and you are the person who's scoring on your team for pretty much 21 years. So that's one thing. Again, not taking anything away. I'm just saying he's played for 21 years and been the leader on his team all 21 years. The ball has been fed to him. That's why this is going to happen. Another thing, more importantly, Charlamagne and Envy today were saying, we don't appreciate history and we're watching history in the making and we're probably never going to see this again. And we're probably never going to see a player play 21 years. Are you kidding me? Are you joking? The reason why LeBron is able to play till his 21st year is because of the technology that we have now. The same reason why you see Tom Brady play till 45 years old. These new kids that are coming up now, they're going to easily play until they're 45 or 50 years old because of technology, because of the medication that we have, because of the strength training and the things that we know now that they didn't have, the Jordan era, the Pippen era, the things that they're playing with now. Of course, that's human evolution. We're going to live longer. The fact that we're going to live longer, that means we're going to play basketball longer. So I predict, and I hope I remember this when this happens and I can bring this back up, but I predict you will start seeing a lot more players go over 40,000 very easily because players are going to be playing a lot longer in the league at an elite level. For example, Ja Morant. Ja Morant is a smaller individual, less impact on his body. How old is Ja? Not what, 23, 24? He could easily play until he's 45. And LeBron is only like 39. And let's say he has two more years left. But LeBron's a big dude. LeBron's close to 7 feet tall. He's 6'9", 6'10". So the wear and tear on his body is harder. So imagine LeBron playing until he's 39 or 40. It's going to be super easy for a little guy that now he's 20 years old to play till he's 40, 45. And because of that, he will eclipse LeBron James's 40,000 points and all his scoring records. Because, again, not taking anything away from him, but these are accolades and accomplishments that you can get through longevity. Whereas more of Jordan's accolades, like winning 6 championships and losing none, has nothing to do with your age. Like that is a separate thing. You're going to score. You're not going to win 6 championships and lose none. Another stat is never going to a game 7 in a finals. Those are the kind of stats that mean something. And that for me is why Michael Jordan will forever be the GOAT until those numbers are defeated. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. It's your boy, Turn Out Loud. For more content, you could subscribe, download, or listen to the Trend Out Loud podcast wherever you listen to your podcast, or you could watch us on YouTube. Just search Trend Out Loud. For showtimes and updates, you could follow us on all social platforms at Trend Out Loud. Go to signupexpert.com /Trent. Once you sign up for all betting apps and get all your bonuses and get all your rewards, go to your app store and download BetStamp and use promo code TOL.